Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison term.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Plays podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Liberty Plays podcast. My name is Eric Stahl. I'd like to welcome you to the podcast tonight. As usual, we start with everybody around the room. To my left immediately is
Jacob Irish, the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Tazewell County.
James Kemper, running for 2nd District Peoria City Council.
Donnie Henry, I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Peoria County.
And if you don't know, I'm the chairman of the Tazewell County Libertarian Party as well. So, again, welcome to another episode. And we just followed an amazing February meeting at W.E. Sullivan's. Oh. We're live and in person. We're not at Liberty Tower, which I kind of like Liberty Tower.
I do too, but it's good to be back.
It's good to be back. It is good to be back.
And we can actually have people in front of us, and James is running for office, so we'll get to that here in a little bit. But great meeting, Donnie.
Yep.
Again, I would like to say it was a great meeting by Donnie, but it was kind of a joint meeting.
We are joined at the hip now. It's too late, you know?
It's kind of weird. You
know? It was
I love
weird.
It. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. But it was a good meeting.
Yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria now is Libertarian Party of Peoria County and Libertarian Party of Tazewell County. And so we're doing joint meetings together here at W. Sullivan's, and that's going to be the way it goes here in the future, right?
That's the way it'll go. And we're going to stay together as long as we can because I think it works better, max participation, more conversation. Yeah. It's good.
Huge room tonight.
Yeah. How many people do you think we had?
I'm
25.
25, yeah.
I would say 25. I was trying to kind of get a map or lay of the land tonight, and I had a lot of new faces.
Yeah.
That was awesome, too. Awesome.
I think we're growing. I think
some Tazewell County folks, too.
It's a huge deal for you guys.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, I mean, they're still here talking. I love it.
Yeah.
Actually, a great meeting. So we encourage everybody. When's the next meeting, Donnie?
Next meeting will be March 18th. You can nurse your hangover at W.E. Sullivan's. And we will have the Sid Ruckriegel. He's a candidate for mayor. Is going to be our guest speaker.
Yeah, so we'll be watching the he may or may not be a candidate by then, right?
Well, yeah, he has to make it through the primary. Yeah. And the way that Peoria works is that they've got, six candidates right now?
Five at the moment.
Get down to two?
They got to get down to
Correct.
Two. So.
Okay.
Things are going to get crazy.
Yes.
This is pretty exciting stuff. So, all right, so we'll give you a quick rundown of the meeting like we normally do, but then we really want to talk to James. James is running for District 2, Peoria City Council, and he has some exciting stuff. Actually, I can be honest with you, the meeting was just, it was rock and roll night. We were boom, 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 and then James had an amazing talk.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the meeting, so I'm hoping we can share a little bit of that with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we can do this. So, all right, first off, I want to say this is the only meeting you can go to where we share the Declaration of Independence.
Who does that?
Nobody.
Who's giving away the Declaration of Independence? Actually, I had a bunch of these. Shout out to Tom Inman.
Yeah.
And I needed to get rid of them, but not in a bad way. Okay. I think everybody needs this in their house.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I do remember, but when I was in the military, they actually gave this to us to put in our pocket. They still do that?
James, they don't do that.
They don't do that?
No.
Literally, we put it in our pocket, and it was reading material if we got bored.
I don't know if you've noticed, but the Constitution really isn't a big thing these days with our government.
No.
Unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm too. That's why we're here. That's
All right.
why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, bring it back.
We went through a few notes. Actually, Zach Oiley presented, I wanted Zach's information. Did anybody have that flyer?
I got it in my pocket.
Oh, okay. So while he's digging it out of his pocket, okay. Zach Oiley, if you don't know, is on the Peoria City Council. I think he's an at-large member.
He is.
All right. Okay, so Zach is actually working really hard for pension reform in Peoria, and I'm not from Peoria County, so I'm going to let you maybe talk a little bit about that.
Donnie. Oh, am I?
You're talking because Zach took off.
So, here's the thing with Peoria. Peoria is devastated with pension issues. Over 100% of the money out of our property taxes is supposed to go to service for Peoria's fire and police services actually goes towards pensions. So we're robbing Peter to pay Paul to begin
with.
Past
service. We're paying for past service.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a mess. And the problem is that we're reducing our tax base and our expenses are increasing. So we're going bankrupt. I mean, that's at the end of the day, we're going bankrupt.
You're accurate, Donnie.
Yeah.
The stop Peoria pension tax is very important.
Yeah.
We've already been riddled with crazy taxes from Peoria, and here is another one.
Yeah.
No tapping. I gotta give you the no tapping rule.
Don't worry. That's all of us get it. I'll do it at some point. But no. But he's 100% right. James is right because at the end of the day, their idea is that they're going to tax their way to prosperity, and it won't happen. It can't happen. And every time we have another tax, we end up losing residents.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what Zach is doing with the Stop Peoria Pension tax.
Well, it takes guts for one.
Yeah. You also lose businesses. So,
yeah.
You lose business and you lose residents. Me speaking, and one of those casualties. And as I sat here tonight and I listened to two or three other individuals say that, oh, I lived in Peoria, but I moved away. And I did in 2020. And because of things like the pension fees that are coming, the rainwater tax, let's call it for what it is, happened, I left. Mm-hmm. And as I've left, Peoria is losing residents.
Yeah.
And Peoria is in a unique situation that we're, you know, in the state of Illinois, we talk about how the outward migration to other states. Mm-hmm. I think Peoria is losing people locally.
Oh, absolutely, because you can just hop the river.
And James, what I loved tonight when you were talking about Peoria and bringing residents back, I am a firm believer that technology has changed everything, and now the pandemic happened. It's like, why isn't Peoria that smart
city? We'll get to that. Let's not jump ahead.
I know. Okay, I'm jumping
ahead.
You
just can't stop it.
I can't.
You won't move back to Peoria County, will you?
Eric?
Okay, just ask him. Just ask him.
But I'll tell you.
That ship has sailed.
That will come later in the podcast, but it is, I love it.
I mean, when there's exciting guys like James on the ballot, I could see living in Peoria for about a split second. I get over it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So Zach was just like a small, he just like popped in. That was during the open business of the meeting. Mm-hmm. We also talked about Caden Elms was doing some stuff in Tazewell County. If you don't remember, Caden was running for Tazewell County Auditor. But didn't get that job, but he's also running for school board in Tazewell County in Pekin. So that's amazing.
Yeah. 21 years old, by the way. Or 22 maybe now.
Yes. But, wow. Yes. Now, Caden did apologize. He's normally, he would like to come to meetings, but he's always scheduled to work on Thursday nights.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, so he reached out tonight and said, say hey to everybody.
Yeah.
So, and then I hate to talk about myself, but we did also talk about Tazewell County. I ran for Tazewell County board last year, didn't get the job, but I've also parlayed that a little bit into working on the Tazewell County Board with the rural internet infrastructure program upgrades we're working on, and school board job too. So that I'll be on the ballot in April for that.
That's
so
amazing. Yeah, you guys, what you're doing in Tazewell County, and brand new, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just what you're doing is you're kicking ass.
Kudos, it's nuts, man.
So. Yeah. So, and was there anything in Peoria we need to touch on?
Only thing is that we voted to endorse Aaron Chess tonight for First District.
Yes.
Aaron Chess has been around with us for quite a while. The thing about Aaron is that he didn't have a political philosophy when we met him.
Yeah.
When he ran for First District, or for at large. And he's honed in on what he believes in over the past 4 years.
Do you remember his three presidents, he said? His three political heroes?
No. Do you?
Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
JFK.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
I love it.
Yeah.
Listen to that mix. Yes. That really shows you how far his political ideals
and his ideas about building the block and things like that. I mean, just he's got the right idea and the right type of stuff. And you get a guy like that in the First District, you could change an entire community.
Well, and he wants to work with youth.
Yeah,
I was talking to him after the meeting here. You know, when I see what Aaron does, he talks a lot about we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But when I see what he actually does, he's always talking to young people.
Yep.
He's always trying to influence young people. So, I mean, guys like that in the community, it may not mean so much right now, but 5 and 10 years from now, it means a monstrous amount. I mean, it's huge.
I've watched him. You know, he actually has boots on the ground. I remember him doing the cleanup down on the south side after the riots, riots.
Yep.
He was there with a broom, sweeping up broken glass in front of businesses with people in his community.
That's impressive.
I mean, the guy's a superstar. So, we're excited to endorse him. So.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he'd be here. But anyway, that's for the podcast. But we talked a lot about him on the last podcast. So, Aaron, you definitely are always getting love from us. So That's all we got. So really, we just want to hustle right through here. James swept in here. I don't know James from Adam, but come to find out that we got some Delavan heritage. We kind of know each other.
Yes.
And James is running for 2nd District, which I don't know the layout of 2nd District. So maybe tell us a little bit about yourself
sure.
in the 2nd District.
Well, I'll start with where the 2nd District boundaries are.
Yeah.
Moss Avenue to War Memorial, Knoxville over to Sterling. That's okay. Essentially, it kind of jigs and jogs a little bit. You know how politics work. People mess around with things.
Sure, that's, gerrymandered.
Yes, exactly. But that's more or less the boundaries of it. A little bit about me. I'm a hardworking guy. I came from a very simple family. Should I go through all of
yeah.
this?
Oh, no. Yeah,
all
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Tell our listeners.
Okay. My mother was 16 years old. My father was 18. Very difficult upbringing. My mother still went on to... Sorry about tapping the thing again.
Yeah.
My mother still went on to be the valedictorian of her class. Extremely great mentor. And I think that's what people need. They need mentors. They need people to look up to see where they can be. Not rely on somebody else. By the age of 11, I needed to go out there and get a job. So I mowed lawns, I detasseled corn, I fixed roofs, I did all sorts of things. I worked because I needed to. I needed money. And I think that's a value that I'd like to show to other people. This is how you get beyond. You don't wait for the handout. You go out there and you capture it and you do it yourself.
And I love the story that you told tonight. I don't mean to interrupt, but,
sure.
but you said that you noticed that there were a bunch of homes for sale. And the same, he said that the same company had all the signs, and you called them up, and what happened?
That is absolutely correct. So, it was age 11 again. Mm-hmm. My father was a Caterpillar employee that was laid off, needed money. I saw that there were all these foreclosed signs and houses around me, mm-hmm. and they had the same bank, so I called them and said, hey, do you guys need somebody to mow your lawns? And they said, yeah, we actually do. That'd be great. So whether it was good or not, it was semi-okay decision, I suppose. I hired my friends, and we mowed lawns and made money.
Yeah.
So, from age 11, I've had a Social Security number, and I've been working hard.
And I hate to mention this, but nowadays, I don't think the government will let you do that at 11.
Probably not.
So, more reason to be libertarian.
You can't sell lemonade, you can't put up a free book stand. Yes. So, definitely the government's after you.
No, that's crazy. That's
so,
nuts.
You didn't stay in Peoria. You took off, right?
That's correct. When I was 17, I graduated high school a little bit early, went to the Air Force, to Lackland Air Force Base, into college, ended up working in an architectural firm, succeeded at this architectural firm at age 26, becoming the youngest stockholder of that place. Because of that, I was able to convince them to start a Chicago office. So I did go away.
Where was this at? When you started the Chicago office, where were you at?
Phillips Swager Associates was the name of the firm. It was the largest architectural firm south of Chicago at the time.
Okay.
And I helped them to create the Chicago office.
And where were they at the time?
Here in Peoria.
Oh,
Peoria.
Okay.
Yes, right here in Peoria. So I worked here in Peoria.
So Peoria built something in Chicago.
Yeah. How about that?
That is right. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. So while in Chicago, I created a firm, did well there. Another firm called Dewberry came along, bought it, and I decided at that time that I wanted to start another practice, my own practice. Yeah. So DeMonica Kemper Architects, we created that. Some family issues came up. I moved back to Peoria, created a branch office, or just another office here in Peoria. So we still have one in Chicago, one in Peoria. And I've been here for 10 years doing that. Met my wife in this last 10 years. We've been married for 8. Blended a family of 5 kids. Now they're all off either in college or graduated from college. One's in Seattle, one's in Chicago. We are empty nesters.
Mm-hmm. So why would you stay in Peoria, man? Get the heck out.
Yeah, no, we thought about that. We seriously, until 2 years ago, we thought we would be moving to Colorado or Florida
sure.
or some other place around the country.
Anywhere but here, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. Chicago is probably the most obvious one mm-hmm. since I have a firm there. But we decided 2 years ago, no, this is our home. We are going to make this the place that we want our grandkids to come back to. Now that we are empty nesters and we've been on all these charitable fundraising things, giving back to the community, we love doing that. You'll see us at every one of these events. What is the thing that we can do now that we have time? And we decided, James, you need to run for council. This place is out of control. It's a mess.
It is.
Taxes are just incredibly high. People are not moving here. They're flying from here, like you're saying before. I want this to be a place where you want to stay. I want this to be a place where my grandkids want to come see me. I don't have any yet. Yeah. But when I have them,
they're coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've got a bunch of kids that you know what they do.
Yeah.
Of course.
My kids don't do that. So like,
you know. All right. Mine do. I'm very aware of it. So I do want those grandkids to come back. I want them to come back to Peoria and maybe, just maybe, a place that they would come live themselves.
Yeah.
I would just absolutely love that.
Yeah. So did you fall in love with Peoria? I mean, you have an enthusiasm for Peoria that is just contagious when you were talking tonight, which I love because I could sit down at the Levy, or not the Levy District, but down by Pat Sullivan's place and down at Max and see, I can see a vision of downtown.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I can see, this is amazing. But I don't think that people really see that right now. What brings you to this lust for bringing Peoria back?
It's interesting you say you could see that vision now.
Yeah.
I was there before that vision existed. Mm-hmm. 401 Water, that was the catalyst that started all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked very closely with Kurt Huber on that project. That was a place where vagrants were hanging out.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
It was vacant for 12, 15, 20 years. I don't know exactly how long. Broken windows. The roof was falling in. Kurt and I worked very hard together to figure out how to make that a place that was vibrant.
I just want to just put this here. I know the listeners out there can't see it, but this is a picture of 401.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Wow.
That is what it looked like.
It's a rundown brick building with one of those fire escapes that looks like a fun ride.
And we kept that. We kept that fire escape. It's a package handler is what that is.
Is it? Okay.
And so here's the joke. So I sent this picture to Eve, and she goes, "Where is that?" And I said, "It's 401 Water Street in 2026.
Yeah.
So that's why we need people like James to save us.
So you can see that vision of what happened there. I was one of those people originally creating that vision, and I see now the vision of Main Street getting renovated.
Yeah.
I was here in the 1980s cruising Main Street, you know, having fun, seeing the luster of it. I saw Knoxville Sheridan and University in their heyday.
Yeah.
When it had great storefronts and a lot of fun things to do, and it looked attractive, and it looked like a place that you'd want to go.
Yeah.
I will bring that back. I want to be that catalyst to bring it back, just like 401. Mm-hmm. And I do that today, right on University, near War Memorial Drive. Mm-hmm. You know the restaurant that just closed down there?
Golden Corral?
Exactly, that one. I'm working with the owner of that one to turn that into an MOB. That is a place where there will be 40 new jobs, doctors, technicians, nurses, higher paying jobs that are going to be coming in there. And it's also going to inflate the property values around there of the other businesses in that place.
And that's huge. You know, I think we've lost that. I think we've lost in Peoria the excitement. You know, even from our leaders now, I don't see the passion for Peoria. And so when I'm looking at people, and this, you know, I'm the only one here that actually lives
right down there.
Right down downtown. I think I've seen a loss of that passion. And so what we've got right now are a couple of candidates like Aaron and like James that have a passion again, because we need to have it.
Yes.
Things are bad. Situation is bad.
They are.
But if we have to have the outlook that things are going to get better, or it's just going to, we're going to write our own prophecy, you know. So I appreciate what
I think, you know, hearing you talk about repurposing a building that's no longer used is always a benefit versus a brand new construction.
Yeah.
And it's a benefit to the community. Because you're not stuck with, I think Aaron talked about the last meeting, it was a school building that somebody bought from the city promising we'll tear it down. Yeah. And then they never did.
Yeah. Well, Pete can deal with that for years.
And there's a new school across the street, but yet you're stuck with an eyesore. To have someone, to Donnie's point, who's really passionate about the Peoria community again, repurposing something, I think
Peoria's had a history of building out. And so what we've done, you know, we have more square miles of road that, like, the road could go to, like, Seattle and back. It's something crazy like that. I mean, so because we've expanded, instead of working on the areas, these heritage neighborhoods, you know, and that's a big problem, too, is we keep expanding out when we should be working on what we have in. And repurposing buildings like that is a perfect example, 100%. You know.
Yeah, there's many, many opportunities for that. We're talking about vision, and I believe I have that. Right. That's what I do day to day. That's what I do around the country for my clients all over the place. That is a very fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting, but it doesn't talk to the now. Mm-hmm. I think that is something to have, and that's an important part of my platform, of what I'm talking about. But what I also want to bring is what I can do right now.
Yeah.
What I can do right now is market this community, market the great attributes that we have. We have this incredible river valley, great infrastructure of this I-74 running through. We have a low cost of living. Mm-hmm. We have great entertainment, great restaurants. I can go on and on and on about this. Yeah. What that is going to attract are these people, these human beings in large cities, whether it be Chicago, New York, L.A., you name that large city, of these young people that have been working in office buildings that have been told, no, you don't need to work in that office building anymore. But they have this high rent rate where they are, mm-hmm. and they want more space, but they want to keep those amenities. Yeah. What this is called is Zoomtown. This is real. You can look it up.
Yeah.
It's very real. I think we can market ourselves as a Zoomtown. Mm-hmm. That can be done now. And it's happening semi-naturally. There's a man on Moss, a very good friend of mine, that moved here from Los Angeles by looking at a map and seeing there's a river through here and seeing these attributes.
Crazy. There's somebody in Washington Street.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
It is happening. Yeah. We need to market that. Then, as a city council, whatever we can do to help push this, mm-hmm. we need our population to go the other direction. Yeah.
Get government the hell out of the way.
You got
you
it.
Know, that's
yes.
what we need to do.
You
well,
got it.
And
but
COVID had one good effect. It's that people realized, these businesses realized, we don't have to spend $1 million a month on a floor at the Willis Tower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can do this in a better way. You know, people are just as productive at home. You know,
but the frightening thing about that, and I'm not to take away, I mean, like
yeah.
OSF took over a building downtown.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
To take an office building. Mm-hmm. And then you think about it like, well, did they really need that building?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah.
they swear they're still going to use it. But
yeah.
you have to kind of wonder now, is it overkill?
Yeah, what happens in the future of the economy? And that's the thing about Peoria is we need to be forward thinking.
Yeah.
We don't have to be right. Yeah. We just have to be thinking of options, be open to options of changing. And I think that's a great idea, James.
Yeah, I think if you go back in our podcast, we've been doing this now for 3 years. I talked about the concept of a smart city.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that forward-thinking vision, whether it's right or not, get government the hell out of the way and let's make something happen. And if you don't have that vision or even have anybody talking about it, it doesn't come to fruition.
You want to think of a way to get Peoria on the map faster than anything? Say that we're going to start paying our contractors in Bitcoin.
You
know, I'm
there
serious.
You, go. There you, go.
You start saying something crazy, like all of a sudden Elon Musk's ears perk up.
Exactly.
And say,
sure.
I'm going to that.
Sure.
Yeah, where the Starlink like satellites.
Peoria has the infrastructure already, and it's not being used.
It's a very attractive city for many developers. I've worked with developers across the country, and I think that Peoria is that place that is attractive. The thing that you've got to do around the country, not just Peoria, all over it is, exactly what you're saying. Get government the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
You've got to, they're not looking for freebies, mm-hmm. these developers. They're really not.
Yeah.
They're just looking for a welcoming environment to say, hey, how, you know, what is it we can, you know, how do we work together on this? We need people that reach out with a handshake, not with a, you know, a checkbook.
Yeah, and that's been Peoria's problem for too long.
Well, but, okay, let's get real for a second. I mean, crime in Peoria is one of the top problems. I mean, I think per capita we're right up there in one of the top 10 cities in the country.
We're four times the national average.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do we deal with that? If you're going to bring in
great businesses and you're going to try and renovate neighborhoods, stuff like that, how do we deal with crime?
I will say that out of the developers that I've talked to, they understand that cities have places of crime.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
I know where to go and where not to go.
Yeah.
The developers, they know where to go, where not to go. Peoria is very similar to many of these other places. I agree. Yeah. Per capita, Peoria is in a terrible shape with that. And there's something that should be or needs to be done about that. If I were elected, first place I would go is go talk to the police.
Yeah.
They're the people that are on the ground doing this and dealing with it. I'm not going to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know their job. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody coming and walking in the door of my office and telling me what to do.
Yeah.
That's not the way to deal with that. Mm-hmm. You got to get to the root issue, understand it, and I think that's going to take some time to figure that out. But for the developers, I don't think that crime is an issue that they're that concerned about.
Well, that's good to know, but I also think that when you create wealth and you create jobs in a community, mm-hmm. crime has a correlation.
You have to think that, right?
You know, it's going to go down.
A depraved area just mm-hmm. kind of brings in.
And that's something we have to look at too. And so the longer that we wait to bring business here and bring jobs here, it's just going to continue to go up.
It won't get better by itself?
No, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, if we live
well, actually, yes. If government completely gets out of the way, things will get better by themselves because entrepreneurs will come in.
Well, I agree with you entirely. A lot of people that are committing crimes, they're desperate.
Yeah.
They don't have the job. They don't have the means to do something, so they need to do that.
Yeah, the future
we need to bring
them
jobs.
Yeah, the future is bleak. Imagine right now if you didn't graduate from high school in Peoria and you went home every day and you're trying to get a job and look at your future and look around you and the surroundings.
Yeah,
there's nothing there for you. I mean, you could say, oh, go in the military or something like that, but I mean, that's not realistic for some people.
The federal government is not very far behind. I mean, when you look at it, we have $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities, and we're $28 trillion. I can't even keep track. I think we're 28 now, 28 trillion.
Right there.
This federal government's going down, too, and inflation is on the rise.
Yeah.
This is going to end at some point, so we need to start coming up with solutions.
If we educate people and we give them an opportunity in a community, it looks like there's some potential growth. I mean, think of the way people's minds would change.
Yeah. People need hope.
Yeah.
I think James is going to give us hope.
And honestly, if Peoria grows and comes back, the surrounding area.
Exactly.
Caswell County benefits.
Yeah. And you guys stop stealing all of our
And maybe
people.
I'll get internet.
Maybe we'll get internet, Derek. Maybe we can finally join the...
Now, I got to tell you, my biggest takeaway from tonight, and I wish I lived in Peoria. My folks lived out on West Moss when they first moved back to town, and I love the neighborhoods up there. Mm-hmm. Just gorgeous little bungalow houses, the bricks and the pointy roofs and everything. I'm just like, oh, so cute. But the crime was amazing. You know, so they moved out of town. What they do, they moved to Tazewell County. But, you know, if there's some vision, if there's some, you know, if people want to be involved with the community, that to me is inspiring.
Yep. It's all it takes.
Something else you want to let people know about?
James Kemper, who is this human being? I have this architectural firm. I do that. But I have a lot of other interests outside of that. I play chess. Okay. I have a cigar club. I write books.
Oh, cool.
So one of the things that I gain from writing is I write memoirs for other people. Currently, I'm on one of a man that's a semi-famous surgeon. He helped do some great things in our town in Peoria. And it's 100,000 words at the moment, which translates to about 450 pages. Ultimately, it'll be about 1,000 pages, this will be.
Wow.
What it requires is deep listening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. And I really haven't talked much about that tonight. But that's the attribute that I can bring to the city council. I will listen. That is something that I've been trained to do. Having the architecture firm doing this, I need to for my clients. But a great example of it is this book writing, the memoir. I listen intently to what this human being is. I understand his character. I understand, you know, what his, you know, inner self is about. And that's what I want to do in Peoria. Really go out there, listen to the people, find out what they are, and bring that to the city council.
Love it.
It's inspiring, man.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That's a drop the mic sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or tap.
Yeah. Tap. I'm sorry about doing that.
Oh, that's okay. You bang your watch. Do whatever, you know. He covered it. Thank you. Do we have anything else? So the next meeting, we talked about that. I got to tell you, Donnie, I'm thrilled that we're back together in real life, in person.
Yeah.
I know I said earlier in the podcast, but I mean, this to me is like legitimacy that maybe COVID is over for us. Is that possible?
I don't know, but okay. Seems good.
When was the last meeting we had in person?
Well, we remember we had that. We came back for a minute. I don't even remember. It was like September, maybe August.
No, I think it was even later than that.
Was it October?
We came back here October, November time.
Yeah, it could be.
And then we went to Zoom.
Yeah.
December, and then the election, January.
Yeah. Because we've kind of forced it with the election. We had to be in person.
Yeah, right? We did the in-person.
Yeah.
And then...
But yeah, hell yeah, it's good to be back.
2021, yes. Man. It's the new year.
Get your COVID shots and, you know, let's move on.
I haven't done that yet, but we'll get on that.
I got my first one. Feel a little weird, but it was good. I got a sore arm, felt a little awkward.
Ember got her first and second. Yeah. She got about 5 hours of a fever.
But... Has she been acting like Bill Gates? Or...
No, she's been just fine.
Okay.
It's,
are there black vans outside the front of the house,
like watching the mirrors? No.
I talked too much about John Locke, like usual, so clearly it didn't affect me very much.
I mean,
much,
we
so.
Did have our moment of conspiracy the last two episodes. Did anything happen with QAnon that we need to talk
Not
about?
Not yet, but remember, isn't that in March?
Oh, yeah, it's March 4th.
March 4th, okay.
Keep the date, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Save the date.
Okay.
None of this has anything to do with James Kemper.
No,
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
All right. So, no, again, what you bring to the table for Peoria is totally inspiring me. I wish you all the best luck.
Thank you.
I'm sure everybody else here does. And thank you for coming to the meeting.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah,
and you're welcome every time, man. Join us anytime.
No, you can just come talk, man. If you just want to. Actually, as a matter of fact, as Tazewell County, I will stand back and let you speak for us. How's that?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. If you can get us good internet.
Yeah. How about this, Eric? Once you go on to a big political future, your school board member, he can write your memo.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. Peoria is pretty city council versus Tazewell County school board.
School board is where the meat and potatoes
are. I'll tell you this. I was telling Aaron Chess earlier, dealing with the youth, there's so much more influence. You know, I help. Running for school board, I'm not trying to ever make light of that. School board has a lot more potential, I think, for me to have an influence on kids. So absolutely. I'm really excited about it.
Local,
so, don't make fun of what I do, Donnie.
Never. I will.
All right. So we had the Declaration of Independence, and then Donnie throws all these quotes out here. I'm just rattling paper around
quotes,
here.
Quotes.
It's like it's a tribute to Rush Limbaugh. I'm not a huge Rush fan, but that's what it is. Anyway. You have this quote from John Locke. Why don't you read that off? You're our historian here, Donnie.
John Locke, amazing guy. All men by nature are equal in that equal right that every man hath to his natural freedom without being subjected to the will or authority of any other man. Being all equal and independent, no one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions.
Yeah.
Natural rights.
It was a great meeting. I had a great time. My name is Eric Stahl.
Jacob Irish.
James Kemper.
Donnie Henry.
We will see you on the next Liberty Plays podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or libertyplays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.